It's what you all been waiting for. Turn up to Tina.
The segment with the beautiful Tina P. From Crusher Mike's.
So how are you tonight?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Morning for me.
I know.
Well, I guess we're broadcasting that tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. Tonight's fantastic.
Okay. So, Todd, I wanted to touch base with you on a few things just to give people a background on who you are and what you've done. You're a Canadian born and bred boy from Saskatchewan.
Yes, I am.
And also had projects started, Static and Stereo and Age of Electric. Two great bands that involved one and both of your brothers at one time. Can you just elaborate a little bit on that for me?
Yeah, it's funny because we've been addressing a great deal of this because 2009 is the 20th anniversary of the Age of Electric. So we formed that band in 89 with my younger brother John and two other brothers, one of which plays in a band called The New Pornographers that are doing really well. And then Ryan, guitar player, is kind of, he has his own project. Well, Little Lifter's still going, his project. But again, he's more of a studio guy now. So we did that for, well, the band broke up. Well, we never really broke up. We kind of went on hiatus in 98. So I would say it pretty much went almost 10 years. And then we kind of wandered off into our own distractions. My brother and I formed a band called Static and Stereo with our younger brother Ryan on guitar. And then we put a record out, one record out, which I always kind of say is like the Sex Pistols. We just made one record, and that's all we needed to make. Then I went on and did a solo run for a bit. And that's kind of where I came from. But the Age of Electric is usually the bookmark for anybody, especially in Canada. It's, you know, generally what people sort of remember me as.
Any chance of a reunion with Age of Electric, getting that together?
You know, it's one of those things that we're constantly in. Well, we've always kept in contact. Like, I mean, like in any situation, like, I suppose, like, even in a relationship, when you break up with somebody, there's always kind of a period of weirdness, but then it usually always comes around. And with us, it's been very sort of like, you know, we grew up together, all of us. Age Electric formed when we were still teenagers, I think. I don't really know the math, but so we've all kept in contact, and the conversation comes up every now and again. You know, I've been trying to kind of like get a greatest hits CD together or some kind of compilation together, and on top of that, trying to, you know, with the 20th anniversary now. I mean, last year was the 10th anniversary of Make It Past the Pet, the last Age of Electric CD. So we had, you know, I worked towards some sort of, you know, anytime these kind of landmarks come up, time wise. You know, 10th anniversary of this, 20th anniversary of that, I kind of think to myself, well, maybe now's the time to kind of do this. I think it's only a matter of time before we do something. We do get offers all the time, things come in, you know, down the pipeline, will you guys do this, will you guys do that, you know, and, you know, we kind of negotiate or talk to each other, just sort of like, what do you think of this, and usually everybody kind of has their own lives, it's kind of wrapped up in their own stuff, so I think I've kind of expected that, you know, when it happens, it'll be for the right reason and for the right, mostly for me, it's the only real reason to do it is because, you know, just to revisit that music and to, play for the people that loved it, you know what I mean?
Well, in 2004, you released your first solo album, Go Time, with all original songs. Yeah. And then in 2007, you joined Faster Pussycat with Brent Muscat for their 20th anniversary tour. Tell me a bit how you and Brent hooked up and how that came about and what you thought of that tour.
Well, I came down to Vegas, which friends of mine live in Vegas, Canadians and characters of all kinds of sorts. But I came to Vegas to work on a CD because I sort of became a behind-the-scenes guy, studio-wise, producing records, recording records. And then came down to Vegas to help my friends in a band called the Underground Rebels record a CD, and just turned out that Muscat was the guitar player from Faster Pussycat, and he was in Underground Rebels. So as we finished up the record, like, I think I'm going to stay here. So they pretty much convinced me to get back on a plane and go back to North America. I was pretty much tempted to just stay.
Really?
Now where I'm going to be, chill out, drinking wine and cappuccinos the rest of my life.
You've also produced and written for the likes of Rick Black, Joshua Tabbitt, The Never Ending White Light, Crop Circle. Is that a direction that you wanted to go, or how did you get into producing and writing for other people?
You know, originally it was my my grand plan to get off the road for a while. I had a family. Everybody's got family, and you want to. I've been on the road for forever, really. And I kind of like, well, I'm going to stay home and make records. I mean, that kind of, when you get into any sort of level of success, you find there's a lot of artists you come across that you really like, and you want to just help them kind of get to whatever their next level will be. And I've always found that was rewarding, whether those bands went on to sell, one CD or a million. It was just kind of like, just being a part of whatever their dream was going to be was always really rewarding. At the end of the day, I found that, being on the road wasn't much different than being in a studio, because even though I got to sleep in my own bed every night, I was still spending like a 14-hour stay in the studio, so I really didn't see anybody. It was kind of like being in a submarine. But I really enjoyed that, and I really enjoyed the process. I haven't kind of been as much involved in that in the last couple of years, but I know that that's, where I will probably, I'll definitely kind of go in and out of that life anyway.
So that leads me into why you probably haven't been doing a lot of that, and that is because you and Brent Muscat wanted to start a new project band. And can you tell me a little bit how the Sin City Sinners were created and how you got involved with Brent Muscat in this new band?
Yeah, well, we came over, while we were in Europe. I knew Brent, and, as much as you can know somebody in the initial sort of aspect of working on a CD together. And then, we went to Europe, and there was a lot of talk about, back in the day, in Hollywood, you'd be able to start a night, the Cat Club, that was Fester Pizziette's big night in Hollywood back in the day. And you'd be, and we'd talk about coming back to Vegas and just, picking a night and just putting together a fun sort of party jam band and just having a blast, and that's really what we did. We came back and we had got, our friend Dee, who played with Marky Ramone from the Ramones, and then we got, originally we had a drummer from Michael Bruce, Michael Bruce's band. Michael Bruce used to be an Alice Cooper, he was the original guitar player, but he was replaced by the guy we have now, Rob Cornwallier on drums, who played with Raging Slab. And then eventually Dee was replaced by Mike Zuder, who we have, who played with, he plays now with Paul Gilbert from Mr. Big and Razor X. And so we kind of then we sort of pooled our resources, and Muscat being who he is and what he's done, it's sort of like we reached out to all of our whatever resources we could, and we started bringing in friends of ours to come jam, like Phil Lewis from LA Guns, and these kind of guys that we just brought out from Hollywood, and then slowly but surely we kind of got more and more names and more people, and we've gotten guys like George Lynch from Dokken and Lynch Mob, and then Bruce Kulick from Kiss, and so we got a lot of really cool people that we like to jam with, and every week it's somebody. Tomorrow night or Saturday night this week I got Jeff LaBar from Cinderella, so we're going to say every week it's somebody. Last week was Sammy Off from Hanoi Rocks and Juicy Pearl from Love, Hate, and Rat. So we've always got somebody cool coming in, and it's exciting for us because, for us, it's usually the idea of bringing in somebody to jam. They'll bring in somebody, and it'll be like, okay, let's play, I Want You to Want Me, or Highway to Hell, or whatever. But we actually try and go out and, learn, Jeff LaBar is coming in from Cinderella, so we're doing three Cinderella
name for yourselves out in Las Vegas, and you've been given another venue to play in, from what I understand, the ranch or something. You were playing in the dive bar, and you still are, but you guys have also been given another venue because it's just getting kind of crazy with the crowds and that you're bringing in, right?
Well, we started at, like you said, we started at a place called the Dive Bar, a great little punk rock bar, CBGB style, dive bar, essentially, that we just kind of, is our home away from home, and this is where I go if I'm not doing anything, kind of thing. So, right. I want to go where everybody knows my name, and then we kind of do it there every Tuesday night, and then, you know, what started as kind of a fun, you know, drunken shenanigans kind of night became popular enough that, you know, it was taken over to the Hard Rock Hotel. Kerry Hart, the motocross dude, has his own club over there, so we're there Thursday night, and then Green Valley Ranch Casino is a big, huge casino over in Henderson, has us on Saturday nights, and now we're going to Santa Fe Station over on North Las Vegas. So it's like one of those things that, you know, we started as just kind of like trying to create a little communal thing on Tuesday nights for us to get together every week and have some fun and jam with our friends. And I think that the fairly, contagious as far as like the energy of it and the fun of it. And I mean, you know, everybody thinks it's kind of a walk in the park, which, you know, in a lot of ways, it's really hard to complain when you play rock and roll music. But largely it's a great deal of work to kind of keep up, learning new material, and a lot of guys say they can come in and play, and we're constantly kind of chasing our tails, trying to learn new material and all that sort of stuff. But it's a good problem to have. And like I said before, it's like this thing started as kind of like a fun party thing, and then it suddenly became like everybody had everything else going on, other things, other projects, I basically had to, over the last 6 months to a year or whatever, slowly kind of like put everything else aside and make it 100% about Sin City Centers. That's how, much, of my time was being taken for this fun little Tuesday night project, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To the point now where it's like, we're doing, we're playing like a Vegas casino circuit, you know, it's the weirdest thing how like this loud, obnoxious rock and roll band became part of some sort of like Las Vegas establishment kind of scenario, playing our own music too, which is the most bizarre scenario. We do some Faster Pussycat to nod to our past and everything like that, and to Brent's history, and we do a lot of original material suddenly. So like I know, but started as kind of like a fun jam band playing everything from, the Ramones to the New York Dolls to Kiss to Cheap Trick and all the things that we love became, this big, it became bigger than us, basically. And now the Sin City Centers is, Brent and I are constantly reminded that it really doesn't have much to do with, who's in it. After a while, Kiss becomes Kiss, you know what I mean? It doesn't really, sometimes it doesn't really matter who comes and goes from these things. So, but we're really, like I say, it's probably the most fun thing I've ever done, because that was the way we started it. This is a fun thing, let's enjoy this, let's have a blast, and it just turns out to be that, now it's 100% of my attention and my time, frankly. So,
okay, so now that's going to lead me to my next question. If it's giving up that much of your time, and you guys are also starting to play some original material, do you foresee a possible record being made at some point this year, perhaps?
Yes, absolutely. I think I want to get it in the can by the spring. So, it's funny because it reminds me so much of the Age of Electric, 20 years later. Because Age of Electric started in a small town, just a bunch of kids just wanted to play music, and the only places to play were places that were for cover material, and we would just go out and play our favorite songs, some of which were Faster Pussycat songs, so it was like, and then, of course, we wrote our own songs because we were ambitious, snot those kids, and, so we were this band that was, like, playing in these cover rooms material, and here I am in a similar scenario where this is a world that is not built on original material. It's, you know, you're supposed to be in there doing a Vegas show or a Vegas review of some sort, kind of entertaining people, and for some reason, I know, you know, not for some reason, because it's, I think people really kind of get off on the fact that this is like this real kind of against the grain kind of scenario of just a rock band, and they can go down to where they would normally see, you know, people in wigs and you know, doing some sort of like rehearsed and polished review. They go in and they watch these ne'er-do-well characters playing loud rock and roll that, you know, some of which they've written, you know, and I think they just kind of really get off on that. The fact that we bring our friends to, like, you know, like, you know, we've had everybody from the, you know, East Bay Ray from the Dead Kennedys and Cheetah Chrome from the Dead Boys, and we had some crazy, weird people that normally wouldn't be there, plus, you know, and then we get into the kind of more, some of the more obscure people here and there as well, but, you know, we largely have somebody there, and they're our guest, and we're throwing a party 4 nights a week now, and everybody's invited, you know, and whoever shows up is going to have a blast. Like last week, we had DJ Ashba from 6 a.m. there. We had Tyler from Fear of the Dead Man on stage. So it's always something. We've always got somebody. And it's Vegas, right? So it's like if there's something going on, you know, we can, somebody will show up at our gigs. And we've got the reputation now being the most jamming band in town. So people come and find us, where we just have to kind of convince people to come play with us. We're great. Now it's kind of like, you know, people seek us out. I'm coming to Vegas. I want to come jam. It's like, come on down, bro.
Right on. So, if you release an album, will this be original materials or material, or will this be covers?
Oh, it'll be all original. I mean, we, you know, some of which, I mean, we've been doing some of my solo material from my last album, stuff like that. So, some of that will probably be readdressed. Even maybe some Static and Stereo songs. Well, we're not sure. I mean, the guys, you know, we're all, you know, fans of one another, so
right.
Sometimes it's all, you know, Brett will show up, Muscat will show up and go, I love this song, you know, like Blow Up Doll from the Static Stereo record he's suddenly like in love with. He's like, I want to play this song. I'm like, really? All right, sure. So it's kind of interesting for me because some of that material, you know, didn't get the you know, the full opportunity it should have been allotted. I guess mostly because it was released in Canada, and that's to, you know, a semi-limited audience. Due to the population. So in the States, those songs are brand new. So to me, it's all good. And I think it's always fun to readdress your material and kind of go, yeah, okay, well, that was a Static Stereo song, but what was it sound like, you know, when you put it through the Symphony Center machine? Like I said, I mean, Symphony Center started as a fun party band, and I really don't think we're going to lose that even in the original material. And it's been exciting for me. You know, I have a song called It's Not You, It's Me that was a single off my solo album that did fine. But, you know, to play here in Las Vegas every night and have people, you know, that aren't from Canada singing the words all the way through and rocking out to a song, you know, that I wrote back home is pretty rewarding, you know. I think that's kind of the most interesting kind of payoff of the whole thing is, like, you know, is making music and always finding that, you know, music is a universal thing, especially when you go to Europe. I mean, rock and roll is alive and well over there.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, it's funny you're talking about It's Not You, It's Me. It's probably one of my favorite songs off your solo album.
Well, thank you.
And I think that's probably what we'll say when we finish this interview. We're talking about your solo album and some of your solo work. Are you considering at all doing any more solo work? Can we look forward to anything more from the talented Todd Kearns as far as perhaps re-releasing Go Time or doing some other project solo?
Well, there's been a lot of talk. I mean, like I said, at the moment now, it's like the center is so all-encompassing that I rarely have much time to think about anything else. But I would, and I have sort of been chipping away on a more of an acoustic type record, which is a bit weird when people think about what I do. But anybody who knows me knows that, you know, if you give me a guitar, I will page. So now back home in Vancouver, I used to I kind of stumbled into hosting an acoustic night, just, you know, playing my own stuff, and it was a blast, you know, just kind of help, you know, helping a friend out. My friend Sean from Wide Mouth Nation used to do an acoustic night at a great place called it was on Granville Island, Arts Club Theater. And he was going on the road, so he was like, "Can you take this over for 4 weeks for me or something like that?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure." And I went in, and, you know, and I was kind of like, and I really enjoyed the whole thing, you know. I mean, I've always played, just boiling your songs down to just your voice and an acoustic guitar is kind of scary, actually, to be honest, at first. But it's really exciting for me, and I think that's kind of what I've tried to do, because as much as Sinners has been really interesting for me to kind of, like, readdress some of my catalog, as it were, the acoustic thing to me is sort of started the same thing, because a lot of those songs that H. Electric Stack and Stereo solo songs, I would readdress acoustically and realize that there's a whole other chapter of those songs, even though a song is, you know, what it is when you wrote it. I don't think that when you write a song necessarily is where it ends. The song is constantly evolving, and I think you notice that with, you know, like The Who or any classic band. You see them play those songs now, and there's something a little different about it than it was in 1960, whatever. You know, so to me, it's, I think doing an acoustic record is about just, you know, plus there's a whole bunch of new material that I write, because I'm the kind of guy that I like loud, obnoxious rock and roll most of the time, but like anybody else, it's like, you know, I come up with, you know, I'm as much of a Beatles fan as the next person, so I have some of the touchy-feely music as well. Although I wouldn't call the acoustic record necessarily light, because I think if anything, it's just a little more kind of, there's some definitely dark and intense kind of moments in there. But that's a very loose project. I'm, like I said, I'm so involved in the Sinners, and that's so, you know, 100% of my time, that an acoustic record at this point is kind of, you know, is something that I'm kind of a bit of a pet project that at some point I would like to get out.
Right.
But we'll see.
Right. That sounds very exciting. Really cool. We're talking with Todd Kearns from the Sin City Center. Todd, can you let the listeners know where they can find you and where they can find the Sin City Centers? Have you got a website and maybe a MySpace site that you can let us know where to get a hold of you?
Yes. The MySpace page for Sin City Centers is www.myspace/FCCenters. And that one you should check quite often because it's constantly updated with new guests and new photos. Like I said, that's 4 nights a week we're constantly playing. And then for me, it's MySpace, www.myspace.com/ToddKearns. And then there's also a www.toddkearns.com. So there's several places to find me.
Great.
And they're all generally updated pretty often.
Great. Todd, I can't thank you enough for your time today, and good luck with the Sin City Sinners and all your future endeavors, and who knows, maybe one day we'll get you to come back on here again once the album's released, and we can talk about that.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Take care.